Christy Watson is an award-winning British novelist and a 20-year nursing veteran. She says one of life's sad truths is that all of us will one day touch illness. Whether it strikes us, a beloved family member, or a friend, at some point we will depend on the support and dignity that nurses offer in our most vulnerable moments. Watson sees it as a privilege to witness people at their frailest, most significant, and extreme moments of life, and to have the capacity not just to care, but also to love complete strangers. She's written about all of this in her new book, The Language of Kindness, A Nurse's Story, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Christy Watson to the roundtable this morning. Christy, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
What brought you to want to tell this particular story?
Well, I'd been doing the job of nursing for many years, but it was honestly when I was on the other side of the fence that I began to realize the importance of the philosophy of nursing. And it was when my dad was dying 6 years ago, and I took a step back and I was a relative rather than a nurse, and watching his nurse and the amazing impact that she had, not just on my dad, but on our whole family's lives, I suddenly felt compelled to write something about nursing. And I'd been writing fiction for a long time, but that's when the idea started to formulate in my head.
Did you ever think about writing this as fiction?
I did. I initially just thought about fiction, and I approached my agent with two separate ideas and said I'd like to write some fiction about nursing, and I'd also at some stage like to write some nonfiction. And I asked her advice about which project I should perhaps focus on first, and she obviously just said, well, let's combine the two ideas and write some nonfiction about nursing. And I believe it's quite different in America, but in the UK, I scoured the libraries here and I couldn't find any well-published nonfiction, narrative nonfiction written by nurses, despite the fact that there was a whole genre of narrative nonfiction written by doctors, which I've always loved to read. So that really spurred me on.
Yes, a lot written about doctors and mostly male doctors, not a lot written about nurses or women in the medical profession.
Yeah, it's the same. And I think that's quite shocking. But it also says something not just about gender, but about our value system and the medical model that we've lived by for so long. We've had a technology-driven drug company and medical model because patients have been curable, and we're moving into an age now where quite often our patients are coming in very elderly, frail, alone, with issues of poverty and social care, mental and physical illnesses. And so they're very, very complicated, and actually a tablet's not going to fix them. A hospital stay is not going to fix them. The most important things are actually the nursing care that they will need and the kindness, care, and compassion that nurses can provide. So it's quite a different age. And, yeah, I think that nursing's never been more important because of that.
Just looking at the title, The Language of Kindness, you just used the word compassion several times. What is it about that language of kindness that is so ingrained in a nurse?
I think that nursing hasn't changed that much since the beginning of time. It predates history books, and unlike a medical model, it has at its core been the same. It's been about the art of caring. So very early nurses were taught religious training and technical skills, but they were also taught the art of caring. And the art of caring is never more relevant than it is now, really. And the compassion and kindness at the heart of it obviously comes with great skill that nurses have now and technical ability, but it's still the fabric of nursing is that underlying faith in humanity and faith in human beings and being able to provide care indiscriminately for every kind of person is what the core of nursing is.
You write about this in the book, about witnessing suffering and how dangerous that can be. And that grief is ultimately taken in fragments by nurses. Talk a little bit about that and how that is the mechanism of understanding and dealing with it.
I think that looking after patients, you really go on a journey with them. A patient in hospital and an illness is just one small piece of a very large jigsaw puzzle of their lives. And it's really the nurse's job to get to know about their whole life, in order that they can find out exactly what they need and also how best to deliver it. And in the same way that if you look after infectious patients, you put yourself at risk of infection. If you look after people who are seemingly senselessly suffering or suffering some kind of trauma, which many people in hospital are, then the nurse does swallow some of that on a daily basis. And just to be around that level of extreme situation, life and death every day, does mean that the nurse over time is carrying around so many memories that most of us don't really consider or think about. So it's a remarkable feat that nurses are able to provide that level of care day after day after day, despite having maybe had years of listening and swallowing people's trauma and being with them and going on that journey with them.
You also talk about how so much of that processing is done in private. It isn't done on the job. It's done when you're home.
It is, because quite often you're very busy as well. Most of the time you're very busy, so you don't really have time to reflect and process until you stop being so busy. So that can be when you get home. That does carry over into the years. I certainly think about patients that I've nursed 20 years ago still. I don't think you ever really stop thinking about your patients at the end of the day or at the end of the shift or even at the end of your career. But it is done privately, and it does carry with you. You do think about people. And I used to think that it was very important for nurses not to be too emotional by the bedside, not to cry with their patients, because I felt like maybe that would be harmful in some way to patients. But actually, over the years, I think I've changed my view on that. And I think it's really important for nurses to express emotion and for patients also to see that nurses really do care. And I think it's fine for nurses to cry with patients now.
There is a code of professional conduct in the UK, and one of the rules states that nurses must remain objective and have clear professional boundaries with patients and relatives in the care at all times. You disagree with that?
I think it's very hard to be objective when you're providing excellent nursing care, because to nurse somebody is to love them. And for example, my dad's nurse, when he was nursed at home, when he was in his final days, he was nursed by Cheryl, who loved him, and she loved him, he loved her back. She came to his funeral on her day off, like so many nurses do, and she was on call 24 hours a day. And still now, 6 years later, she still pops in to see my mom, she still stays in touch with me, and she made us feel like the only family she was looking after, despite there being hundreds of families. And so to give that much of yourself is not an objective thing. That's just excellent nursing care.
Is there an unnecessary tension between doctors and nurses?
I've not experienced it. I have to say that I have got really, really excellent experience of teamwork. And I came from an area that was mainly pediatric intensive care or resuscitation. There might be other parts of the hospital where there's more of a hierarchy felt. But certainly in my own experience of 20 years, I feel like nurses and doctors, particularly senior nurses and senior doctors, have such a good rapport because they've been through so much together. And they really respect each other's roles. And I think there's much less of a hierarchy or difficulties between doctors and nurses than people imagine.
There is a nursing shortage in many countries, including the UK. It is a crisis in the UK. It has been in this country as well. What do you think the reason is, and ultimately, what are the risks to the profession of what's happening right now?
I think it's very complicated in terms of reasons. I think that many nurses are coming up to retirement age, which is a big problem. And nursing recruitment has never been an issue until now. In the UK, we're having trouble recruiting. But I know in America, you've got lots of people wanting to train to be nurses, but not that many university spaces because there's not enough people who can teach the nurses. So it's a very complicated issue that is country specific, but I think the overriding issue is the fact that our patient population has changed faster than we've kept up, and the kind of people that need care in hospital need so much care that they need more nursing than ever before. And actually, this is at a time when everything is being squeezed financially and politically. So it's created a perfect storm. And my fear for nursing, if this continues, is that ultimately the patients will be the ones that suffer, because if there aren't enough nurses on the wards, then people don't have time to care. They don't have time to sit and hold the hand of a person when they're going through these significant moments of their lives. They don't have time to listen to the patient's stories and provide the really good care that I'm sure all nurses want to provide.
Ultimately, what do you hope the takeaway of the book is?
I hope that it's wider than nursing. I hope that people realize that every single one of us will be nursed at some stage or other, and that if we're lucky enough, we will all get to nurse a loved one. So it's a universal idea, but actually, I hope that it spills out into community and kindness and us just being a bit more kind on ourselves and a bit kinder to each other, because I do worry about us turning away from that sense of community that we've had before. And I think it's really, really important to know that these are the things that will matter to all of us in the end, is our sense of who we were as people, not what we had, but who we were as people and what a difference we made to other people's lives.
That was such a takeaway for me from the book, is that if you're a nurse or not, is that this idea of kindness, this idea of compassion, this idea of caring certainly doesn't have to be prescribed to just this one field. We can all have that. And then the second question that comes flooding in immediately is, well, how did we get to this point where we lost the kindness and compassion?
I don't know how we got here. I think we're living in quite a terrible, terrible age, really, where our value systems seem to be based on the cult of youth and external beauty and money and power. A journalist asked me recently if it would help nursing if Kim Kardashian became a nurse. And very sadly, I said, yes, I think it would. So I think that we are revering narcissism and we're promoting celebrity. And perhaps young people are aspiring to those things because that's the norm, instead of thinking about what they can give to other people. So I do worry that we're becoming more selfish collectively, all of us. I do really worry about that.
Well, I'm very jealous of that question. That's a great question, and certainly one to think about. The Language of Kindness is the new book. It's a nurse's story. It's published by Tim Duggan Books. Christy Watson, thank you so much for sharing with us. A great pleasure, and best of luck in your future work.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Pleasure. Thank you. Again, the name of the book is The Language of Kindness, A Nurse's Story by Christy Watson. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.